Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now we're going to look back at some of the issues of the week. It's time for our Friday gathering, and I'm joined in the studio today by Green Party Senator Pauline O'Reilly, Sinn Féin Education Spokesperson and TD for Longford Westmeath Sorka Clark, Political Editor at thejournal.ie Christina Finn, and Media Consultant and Founder of Effective Aid Ukraine Tom McEnany. And you're all welcome. Thank you for coming in today. I want to start where we started on the programme today. We were talking earlier about the protests in Roscrea. So we've seen protests in Mayo, Carlow and Tipperary this week. Tom, I'm going to start with you on this one. Yep. But in Roscrea, I think it's the first one where people are objecting to families moving in, because what we have in the briefing from the department is that this will be families seeking international protection. We had their independent councillor, Shane Lee. He says Roscrea is doing more than their fair share. They've got two centres already in the town. Do you think, given that this protest now is about families coming, that we're seeing a shift now in local communities and what they're seeking and what they're objecting to?
I think we're definitely seeing a shift, but not just because of what's been happening in the last couple of days. There's always going to be a group of people, and I'm not just talking about a far right, there's always going to be a group of people who are going to say, who are going to be against refugees coming into a particular area. It doesn't matter whether they are men or families.
But he was very clear. He's very clear that they're not against people coming to the town. They already have two substantial centres in Roscrea. They're opposed to the fact that they feel they're getting more than their fair share.
And it would be great if we could do this in a fair share way, where we had sufficient accommodation so that we could work out, we'd have this number in this county and this number in this town and this number in this village. But really, we're in an accommodation crisis. So we have to put people where the accommodation is, and not just where we would put them in a perfect, if it were a perfect situation. And I think most people in Ireland realise that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's the case, Sorka, that that's what people have to accept now, that there isn't a fair share element to this?
I don't think there ever was a fair share element to it. And I think if you look back on the communication from the department, and not just since the brutal invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but going back substantially longer than that, the communication has always been at the very best, and I'm being generous when I say this, Claire, piecemeal. And I speak as a TD for an area where there was an IPAS centre opened overnight in a very rural area about 8 years ago. And the first the neighbours knew about it was when they seen people walking down the road who were lost and didn't know where they were. So that falls back on government. It actually falls back on successive governments. But when you're looking at particularly those who are coming from areas of war, of persecution, and the other instances that qualify somebody for refugee or international protection here, when you are placing a group of people in a certain area, the question must also be what supports are in that area. I've taken phone calls from school principals wanting to know where they were going to get desks. That's mm-hmm. the level of engagement that, or the lack of engagement that's out there. And that's just simply not good enough. If you are looking at putting a group of individuals who are coming from an area that has left them with deep and profound trauma, what specialist services are available to them locally and which can they access that may be more regionally based? But you certainly shouldn't be expecting somebody to travel 80 or 90 kilometres to get to a doctor, which is what is happening.
The briefing document which was given to local representatives in Tipperary, and I have it here, it is very detailed on the supports that will be going in, the number of staff that will be going in to Racket Hall. So I'm sure you would accept that things have changed from that situation you describe 8 years ago. Like, the communication and strategy from the department is probably very different now, would you say?
I'd say it's different. I wouldn't say it's improved a huge amount. There has definitely been attempts to improve communication over the last short number of months. But communication and consultation and engagement are very different things. Mm-hmm. And where local representatives, be they councillors, NGOs, groups who work with those who are coming through a refugee programme or asylum programme, they are being told within a matter of hours X amount of people are going to be placed into this facility. That's just not good enough. The department are well aware a long time before that as to whether. Okay. So the engagement needs to be more sufficient.
Can we come
it
back
needs to be quicker.
Come back to what happened this week, Christine. We had two situations, Ballinrobe and Carlow, where we had protests happening and the strategy around who was going to be placed in those places changed. We went from single males to families. So that sends a very strong message out to communities. If you protest, something will happen.
Yeah, and I think the government find themselves in a bit of a rock and a hard place here, because if they are seen to capitulate to perhaps a small number of protesters that are outside a certain building, does it look like they're sort of giving in? Or, you know, do they press the button and go ahead yeah. with their plans and then face possibly the consequences of that? Like, I had an interview with Roderick O'Gorman before Christmas where I asked him, you know, is he concerned when certain things like that happen and protests or checkpoints in certain areas? Is he concerned about going ahead, you know, with those plans when certain things like that have happened? And he said, look, like, we're going to have due diligence. He's very concerned and wary when that is the case, but that they do work with Gardaí to try and make sure that a building can be safely operated. But, you know, it's a very difficult situation, I think, to find themselves in terms of if they go ahead with something and something does happen in a certain area, the buck really does stop with them. But I think, you know, we've seen in the last number of months and weeks the conversation and the debate around immigration happening. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the politicians have said that outright, that they are open for that conversation. They welcome that debate. And perhaps, you know, Ireland has been somewhat rather behind on other European countries in that regard. But the question here is about accurate information being put out there. And we've seen a number of local representatives online and on radio stations not knowing even basic facts about the rules and the systems at which the immigration system operates.
You know, the temporary protection system that's in place for Ukrainians as opposed to international protection.
We've had discussions there about in Ross Cray about you know, refugees that are going in and they'll be asked to leave after 3 months. That is not the case. That is under the Ukrainian system. And even Vradker said himself a month ago that politicians have a duty to even know the basic information about migration, immigration systems that are operating here. And that is just not the case at the moment. And so much so that the Department of Taoiseach right now is working on an information campaign or an awareness campaign to put out the facts about how our systems operate so that actually we can have a debate, an informed one, where everyone actually knows how rules and operate here, and we can actually have a discussion where it's not information being thrown out there.
What we saw this week was the government responding to those protests where people were outside those proposed accommodation centres saying, we don't want single males. And then they get their wish. They get single males taken out of the picture and the accommodation becomes for families. Now, that sends a message, would you agree?
Very much so. And I think we've seen, you know, different political parties somewhat shift perhaps their position on the immigration discussion. And I think there's no doubt about it that we've seen government also, you know, perhaps move away from some of the hard rhetoric that they were having a few months ago. There has definitely, I think, been a watering down. And that's not to say maybe that they're, you know, backing down, I suppose, to some of these things, but they are, I think, having to take a step back.
And I don't know, but Pauline, I'd be interested to get your view on this because we've had it said to us time and time again, both by Roderick O'Gorman, your own party colleague, and by the Taoiseach, no one gets to veto who lives in their community. But they do.
Well, you know, I think the unfortunate thing here is I wouldn't agree that people don't understand. I mean, some people, obviously in the general public, may not understand the details of the Temporary Protection Directive. However, the politicians do know. And so I do believe the politicians on a local level are playing politics. And there is a lot of fear-mongering. And as you know, my constituency is Galway West. I've seen it myself in Roscahill. I believe that it is trying to get votes. And it is deliberately, people are deliberately spreading misinformation. But to be really, really clear, there's no change of direction other than the fact that there's an initial check to see people's vulnerability when they come in. Refugees.
But how do you explain protesters who say, we don't want single men moving into this town or this premises. And the government then turning around saying, OK, well, they won't then.
Well, I'm just coming on to that point. So people are labelling that as a U-turn when nothing could be further from the truth. There's an initial check. What's the vulnerability status? And children and women are put at a higher level of vulnerability. And we have seen a shift in the last 5 weeks. So we went from 298 families per month last year. In the last 5 weeks, the rate per month is 505 for families. So you can see there the massive shift. Then that puts an onus on the government to find accommodation for families first. And there has actually also been a shift slightly downwards for men coming in.
I would,
so single men coming in. So if
the government hadn't said, or IPASS hadn't said in both of those locations that they were for single men initially, that was the plan, which was changed on the back of those protests.
Which goes to show that the most recent information is obviously the most important information. And that's why yesterday we have that information. It's saying that families are coming to Ross Grey, and things shift because we are in an emergency situation. We have people coming in seeking asylum. I would expect for my children going to another country, if we were war-torn, if we had hunger, if we had the kinds of human rights abuses that a lot of people are coming from, I would expect that my children would be accommodated somewhere else. And we actually have a legal obligation.
Yes.
A legal obligation.
Tom, you want to come in there.
It's absolutely a U-turn. I mean, it's very obviously a U-turn. The government has left itself in a very difficult position where how are they going to introduce groups of men into other communities now when people at local level, some people know that if they protest, then they can stop it. But the point about this being politicking at a local level, it's politicking at a national level. In a very short period of time, as Christine mentioned, we've had a significant hardening of the position of across political spectrum. At a government level, we've had, particularly in relation to Ukrainian refugees, at a government level, we've now been told, well, you've only got 90 days of accommodation here, and after that, you're out on your own. And we're reducing the support from €230 a month to 38, which is less than €2,000 a year. Which is well below poverty level.
And that's what the international protection applicants are getting.
And which is wrong. Which is wrong, which a number of NGOs have been saying for the last 10 years, hasn't been changed in the last 10 years. And it's too low for international protection applicants, and obviously it's too low for Ukrainians. So at the government position, we've had a hardening of the position very, very quickly since the riots on O'Connell Street. All this has changed, and with an election looming, but also from on the opposition benches.
Well, that Sinn Féin plan to reduce support hardened. For Ukrainians was in place and was mooted well before the riots.
It was. But there was significant political opposition to it at cabinet, which seemed to melt away after what we saw in the city centre.
So you think it's all reactive, what we've seen?
I do. And I think that the not just at a government level, but Sinn Féin have now, we've seen the leader of Sinn Féin come out and say that once, after a particular period of time, only Ukrainians in essential jobs will be allowed to remain here.
So once the temporary protection order expires, we expect that to be in 2025.
In 2025, that
they wouldn't
only
be allowed
people
who are absolutely necessary
for the Irish economy. So it's a hardening of the position across the board. And I would like to think that that's based on some reasonable, compassionate grounds.
Okay.
But it's difficult not to think that it's all about votes.
Sarka?
Yeah, I agree with what Thomas said there, but I disagree strongly with other ones. Sinn Féin's position on this has been very clear, and even if you want to go back as far as our 2020 manifesto and even before that, we are firmly of the opinion that we need an immigration system that works. Now, the brutal invasion of Russia, of Ukraine, caused chaos across Europe, through countries length and breadth of Europe into absolute chaos, and the response was an emergency one, and it was the right one to do, but it was a temporary one. And that temporary status runs out at the latest of being March 2020. So what we are saying now very clearly is that government need to say to those who have come through temporary protection from Ukraine that that protection is going to end. There is no mechanism that I'm aware of to extend that temporary protection. It has got to end under the conditions of which it was created. That brings us to March 25. For those who are here and want to remain here working, they are going to need to go through the work visa application system, the same as everybody else who wants to come here and wants to be employed here. The Ukrainians who have come to our communities have brought with them a wealth of information, a wealth of knowledge, and in many, many cases, Tom, have added to our communities and will want to stay.
But if they're not in essential jobs, you're saying when the order runs out, when it expires, that they should have no automatic right to stay here.
Exactly, and they should go through the same system as anybody else who's coming to Ireland seeking protection, international protection.
Even though their children have been going to Irish schools for years, their children in many cases will have made friends in Ireland, even though they'll have strong links with local communities, will have been playing on the GAA teams. Even though there's that level of integration, they should still be considered with somebody in the same way as somebody who's just arrived on our doorstep.
We have seen the government have tried to expand the work visa programme even in the last year. They've added extra occupations onto a long list of them even just before Christmas. So I think perhaps when we move towards that date, we'll probably see even an ever expanding list of possible work visas being applicable for people.
But how would that work? I mean, just to add what Tom said to you there, that you have the integration question. You also have somebody, maybe one person in a Ukrainian family might be doing an essential job, but the rest of them are not.
No, not an essential job. A job that qualifies for a work visa. So where there is an identified
need for
them.
Same point applies.
So they're not all essential.
Are you saying to one person in that family, you can stay, but your family can't?
No, it would be the same basis as anybody else who is coming here to seek international protection. We cannot have the situation develop, Claire, where you have multiple tiers and multiple, almost like a spider web of an immigration system here. These are the rules that are in place and they need to be applied fairly and equitably to everybody who's coming in. Now, on Tom's point of children being integrated into the community, and it is a very valid point that he makes, and it's an important point that he makes, but I would draw your memory back to the situation where there was a young lad, he was about 8 or 9, was due to be deported with his parents to a country that he had never set foot in. That is fundamentally wrong, and that's up to the system to be able to change and to be agile enough to take these situations into consideration.
Why is it now right for Ukrainian children?
We're not saying it's right for Ukrainian children. What I am saying is that there needs to be parity and there needs to be fairness and there needs to be equity in the immigration system for all people who are due to come here. At the moment, there is this unique and bespoke system that's in place that is due to end under EU law, is due to end in March 2025. It is now up to government to come forward with proposals as to what the future for these people who have been very welcomed into our community, have contributed hugely
Pauline, can I get Pauline's view on this? Okay, Pauline, what's your view? What happens when the temporary protection order expires?
It isn't all just, you know, going to be ripped up and that's the end of that. Negotiations are ongoing at a EU level and we need to be in step with the rest of the EU. I mean, I think that's quite clear. But certainly from our point of view, I think it's absolutely outrageous for Sinn Féin and for Mary Lou MacDonald to suggest that the majority of Ukrainians who are women and children will just be kicked out under Sinn Féin government. And that's what you're talking about. You're saying unless they're here doing specific jobs, which children are not doing, which most of the mothers are not because they're in temporary jobs. I mean, is retail going to be on this list, on Sinn Féin's list? I don't know, but that's what a lot of people are
children
doing.
Children don't apply for work.
And I think this is politicking. I think it's to go back to the other point on politicking on a national level about immigration, and Sinn Féin don't know whether they're coming or going on it.
And this goes back to the government's fundamental refusal and inability to deal with the issues before they become a crisis, which is what we have developing across the country. At the moment, of which Pauline is a member of a government party. If these briefings and negotiations are taking place in the EU, where is the ministers coming out to brief the TDs on it? Where are the ministers coming out to brief the Irish public?
You know that it's
where
the Minister for Justice involved.
Where are the documents coming out to brief and to speak to everybody?
You'll have to speak to the minister. We'll be back in
abdication
the dole anyway.
Of responsibility.
But can I just make the point here that I do think it's really, really disappointing to hear TDs on a national level saying, oh, well, it's OK, we don't mind people coming into our community, but there's not enough this, not enough communication, there's not enough. We're in an emergency situation and you have to actually say whether you think that it's acceptable to put people up in an emergency situation because they either have a roof over their head or they don't. And we've had the same situation. This is what's led to the difficulties in Roscahl is TDs not stepping up to the mark and saying there is a vacant property, like literally vacant. There is nobody in it. And you'd rather choose nobody to go into it than people who need protection. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the difficulty. This lack of political leadership is creating some of these problems within our communities.
Can I just get your view on what happened in Ballinrobe, what happened in Carlow?
It was wrong for
the government to capitulate or for the people to protest?
The entire situation was wrong.
Made
a statement, that was it. The entire situation was wrong. It was handled badly from the very, very beginning. Do I believe that the government should be capitulating on the decisions? No, I don't believe that they should be. Do I believe that they need to be agile enough to change depending on what the demand is of the people who need accommodation? Yes, I do.
And it has changed.
But that's different. That's the difference between being able to meet the needs of those who are standing in front of you and capitulating to a group who are shouting holy blue murder on the side of the road, some of which was actually categorically incorrect what it was that was being said out there.
But then on the other hand, you know, we hear that the government has to listen to the communities.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Well, it's quite simple. I'll tell you how. I'll give you a very good example of this. There's a very small town in my constituency that there was, and this is another aspect of the immigration issue that has never been addressed, to my mind, sufficiently. And that's the exemption and the almost lack of requirement for planning permission. So in this very, very small town, there was a building developed to completion that was purposely to go to IPASS. This is a really small town where generations of families haven't been able to get planning permission to live in themselves, despite the fact that they're from it. That's never addressed into it. I stood in another small town in my constituency where I met with the postmaster, I met with the local publican, had a chat with about half a dozen different residents in one single afternoon, explained to them what the situation was, where the government's department, and I am no mouthpiece for the government or Roderick or Gorman, but I got the information off my own bat from the minister, went out into this town, put the factual information out there and answered questions to the best of my ability, and those that I didn't have the answers for, I went and sought the answers for. That's engagement.
That we were physically. Is that not what's happening?
No, but it isn't what's happening.
So when it comes to the protests, and they were protesting at the fact that there were going to be single men moving in, the government then, and I know we don't agree on what the reasons are.
I have given the facts there as to what it is.
The government then said that families would move in. Are you saying that that was the wrong decision for the government then to try and meet those protesters halfway?
No, it's not about meeting somebody halfway. But when the decision at the opening point of the negotiation started with that individual, the property owner that's there, it's at that point community engagement should have begun. Were the GPs informed? Were the local Gardaí informed? Was the GAA club? Was
they
the tiddlywink? No, they are not, Pauline. Don't know.
Well,
let's Gardaí
are
deal
on
with
the
facts.
List.
Let's be facts. I've told Gardaí in certain stations what's happening in some areas. That's when the engagement starts. And that's when you get good quality engagement
but
with
is that
people.
Not the Christina. Job, is that not the job of public representatives? Like over the last number
yes,
of weeks, we've
you're right.
But TDs yourself, but local councillors, mm-hmm. like we've seen councillors come out in the last number of weeks and say, sure, I didn't know this was going to be used. I didn't know it was going to be used as a family hub instead of an IPASS centre, mm-hmm. as if, you know, there's some sort of lack of channel that they actually don't have access to. That's their duty. That's their job, is mm-hmm. to get in touch with the department and mm-hmm. ask those questions. It's not totally like you're living in a total vacuum of information. It's their duty to inform their constituents of what is going on in the area. You can't just say that, I wasn't told and I can't inform my constituents.
Like what's going to happen now in Ross Grey, where the community is not talking about single men, they're talking about the fact that families are coming in, we have two centres here, we can't take a third. Where is that going to go? Mm-hmm. Does anybody know?
Well, I mean, from my point of view, like, I'd always be very strong on this. When no other TD was out in Galway West, I was out straight away. I mean, I can do that much, but what I'm saying is to other politicians, they need to step up to the plate and they need to, as Christina said, give the information. And we have done that in the past. We've worked really, really well across party in giving that information. But I do believe that politicians are now using this as an opportunity. I mean, when I look at what happened, for instance, in Roscahill, when the information came, a blockade was put that afternoon. So it's not as if, you know, people were saying, oh, well, let's have a discussion about this. Even though the department said, and we're going to come and we're going to talk and we'll talk about what services, there was no waiting for that to happen. Mm-hmm. There was an immediate blockade. So what do you do in that circumstance? And what my feeling is that you should, as political parties with responsibility, particularly large political parties, contact your local councillors and in your local areas, say, try to calm things down, give people the information. But in the end of the day, I can't say, you know, I don't want this neighbour here. I mean, I could never do that. I'm not going to block somebody's house. So there are things that we have to take a step back.
We're reaching
and say,
the end, Tom. A very
is this
quick,
acceptable
word.
Or is it
can
not?
Can I just make the point? Like, consultation is terribly important for all groups. But the one voice that's rarely heard or rarely consulted with when the government is making major changes is the refugees themselves or the Ukrainians seeking temporary protection. When we saw just in the last 2 weeks draconian changes in relation to accommodation, in relation to the level of welfare support made by the government, which will significantly affect lives, and no Ukrainian groups were contacted or consulted.
Okay, we ended up being a one-issue gathering, but that will just show you how much it's dominating the conversation. Thank you very much for listening.